Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. We expect something different, something good, something alive, something that heals, something that changes our lives. We expect. We don't want to stay the same as we were for years. We want the kingdom of God to be real in our life. And the kingdom come with power. We need your power. Holy Spirit, do your work in us and set us free. Set all of us in this church free like never before. Make it so we become dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, honor, and glory and worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, right now, it's a feast in Israel. All the charismatic people are having a meeting in Israel right now, celebrating Pentecost. Pentecost came 2,000 years ago. And it came when they expected him to come. At the time, Jesus said they were coming. I believe if we expect him to come today here, he'll come. I think that's good. I like it. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water unto repentance in Matthew 3. But as one who's coming after me, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Say, Holy Ghost and fire. See, it's not just the Holy Ghost, it's fire too. Fire cleanse, and it's got power, it's got energy. And he will baptize. Sometimes people say, Ray, you baptized me last year at the Holy Ghost. He said, I say, if I did, you're in trouble. Because it's something Jesus does. Okay? So Jesus came to the earth because it was decided in heaven that the Father would save his people. So he sent Jesus to be the Savior, and he was. 33 years he was here. Then he said, I got to leave. He said to the apostles, I got to leave. Because if I don't leave, the other won't come. But he said, if I leave, I will send him to you. Say, I will send him to you. He's a him. He's not a bird. He's a him. Okay? So, and when he comes, he will do certain things. And this is what we're celebrating right now. The one who promised certain things different would happen. Jesus was here. The apostles, contact with him, were able to operate on his anointing. But he says, now that won't happen anymore. Another one will come. A helper. How many of you need a helper sometimes in life? How many of you need a helper all the time? You know, I say this jokingly, but if you're young, healthy, good-looking, smart in school, you have friends, your parents are rich, you got a car, you don't need a helper. You get married, you need a helper. You start having kids, you need a helper. They get married and leave, you still need a helper. They're coming back, you know, so we have a helper so we can help. Okay? So, this is what it says. Jesus came to Galilee at the Jordan to be baptized by John, and John tried to stop him. He says, you don't need for me to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, let's fulfill all things, and that it did, okay? And he said, when he had been baptized, he came up immediately out of the water, and the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Say, like a dove. It wasn't a dove. It was like a dove. Huh? The Holy Spirit is not a bird. Okay? And it rested upon him. So the Father told him, when you see that, that's him who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I saw that. That's what God told me. And it happened. I saw that. So I saw the Spirit like a dove and remained on him, He said, I didn't know him, but the one who sent me to baptize told me this would happen. So this we have this. I remember my son, my oldest son now, but when he was young then, we went to Israel. And the problem was with us is that my wife's parents wanted him to be baptized after being born. And because we had been saved, we said, no, he's going to make his own decision. We're not going to do that, a ritual that didn't do any good for us, and we're going to wait for him to get something. Well, we're in Israel, he got baptized in water. And when he came out, he saw a dove. There was actually a dove flying over his head, you know. And he trembled all day long. Just the anointing was there. He's serving the Lord. He's really serving the Lord full time. So it was just a sign to us, but it wasn't the dove. It was the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit came in our life, but you know, you don't change right away. You're so formed normally with the flesh, it's hard to get rid of the flesh. For a man, it takes at least 50 years. So you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days from now, the Bible says. Well, how long do we have to wait? He left. He sent the Holy Spirit. He said, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Okay, power. Well, we need power. You know, I wish it would work easy, but it doesn't work easy. You know, as a new Christian, we led people to the Lord all the time. We led people to baptism in the Holy Spirit. That was easy. We cast out demons. That was easy. But for some time, healing was hard. I hated to pray for people that were sick because I knew they wouldn't be healed. You ever had that experience? You can't see that God would use you to do that. Well, with me it's a little worse. Sometimes they got worse when I prayed for them. And some died. And you don't want to pray too much for people when that happens, you know. I said, Lord, you said if we pray, we lay hands on the sick and they'll get healed. They don't get healed. He said, do what I told you to do and let me do what I do. He said, just pray. Don't worry about it. And all of a sudden, people start to get healed. That helps, you know. That really helps. Well, we need healing. And I figured out, if I can get healed, because I used to get the flu all the time, especially in France, where they give you, they call it bisou, they give you a kiss on each cheek, you know, sometimes four. So what you do is when they have a cold, they all have a cold or the flu, and you inhale what they have. So you're sure you're going to get healed eventually. You're going to get sick eventually. So I said, well, if I can believe God to heal me from flu or cold, I can believe that I won't get it. I tried to believe that. That was my experience. So I said, okay, God, starting today, I will not get the flu or a cold anymore. That's my confession, okay? The next day I got the flu. So I cast it out all day long. Next day I got healed. The next day I got the flu again. And that lasted a long time. I said, Lord, if I got the flu like anybody else, it would have lasted a week. I'd be healed. I've been fighting it. I'm still sick. He said, you know, you are fighting to learn. You will receive. Okay? I don't get the flu. You can catch it. You can have it. You can kiss me. I ain't getting it. So we start someplace with a promise, with power, but we don't get there right away. Now, I know the pastor and his wife. I know they're a personal friend of mine. Really, really appreciate them. I love them. You can trust them. I'll tell you why. They have been tested. They have been tried. They've been the furnace. Not the furnace of God, but the furnace of this world, the furnace of the devil. And they're still here. You can trust somebody like that. But you can't trust somebody who hasn't been tested. They passed the test, right? I confirm that. You passed the test, okay. Now, it was prophesied in the Old Testament in Joel, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Your flesh. God will pour out his spirit on your flesh, which is not good, it's sinful, it's born in sin. He said, "I'll pour his spirit on all flesh." Okay? "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That's pretty. Sometimes even our Pentecostal church, there's no prophecies, there's no tongues, there's no word of knowledge. We've become more like a normal thing. I think we're lost ground instead of gaining ground. Jesus is coming back. We need to be established in supernatural. How many of you want more anointing? I didn't finish my sentence. More anointing with persecution. I didn't plan that. That's the Lord. All men will dream dreams. When I get old, I'll dream dreams. Young men will see vision. Okay? "And on my men servant and maid servant, I'll pour out of my spirit on those days." Okay? Everybody can get it. Everybody can get it. This is what the Holy Spirit came 2,000 years ago, and he's renewing what he came for 2,000 years ago. I want more of God. I don't know how long I have. I'm 85 years old. But I'm not taking a retreat. I'm not slowing down. I'm not being careful. I'm crazy. You know? In Europe, they said, "How can a guy your age and your wife your age do all you do? How could you do that?" I said, "When I get old, I slow down. But I'm not old yet. And we plan on serving the Lord with everything we have, even if it's just a little bit, until he comes or we leave." Right? Yes. Well, I want to be part of an answer to this world, not just entertaining the Christian, but part of an answer to launch them further than they've ever thought they would go. I want more. I'm not satisfied with what I have. I want more. You know, that's the way it is. You reach a level, you're satisfied for a while, but then you get dissatisfied because you know there's going to be more. I call it holy dissatisfaction. And then you struggle for a while, and then you take another step, and you're satisfied. Then you get dissatisfied, and you take another. It's continuously going forward in a battle with power from the Lord. Is that okay? No, you're not sure. Okay. The apostle said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" In Acts 19, they said, "We never even heard about the Holy Spirit." How many people, Christian people, never heard about the Holy Spirit? Oh, we say Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but don't know anything about it. We know about Jesus. Of course, everybody knows about Jesus. You like him or you don't like him, it's one thing. But he said, how many of you have had an encounter with the Holy Spirit? You know, because he won't leave you alone. He'll work with you until he changes you. Even if he has to kill you. No, I don't think so. Sometimes they feel like he says not to kill you, you know. Said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance. Okay, that's okay. That's very good. Those who believe on him, but the Holy Spirit will come upon them, and they spoke with other tongues. He said, this has happened when Jesus came. But the other one will come, and you enter into the supernatural. Well, we saw that with my wife. We were in France, and it was really a difficult thing. A lot of believing unbelievers. You know that? Believing unbelievers. They understood, but they're not arrived yet. If it doesn't work, it's because you haven't got it. You know, you think you may believe you got it, but if it doesn't work, you don't have it. And my wife started praying for people. I was very exhausted at the time, and she had a meeting. We had three of us at a meeting, And the guy before us was take half of our time. So the Lord's beginning to speak to her, and she calls in people to get delivered. You should have seen the miracles that was happening. It was a little Jewish lady. She's married. Her mother-in-law brought her to the first Christian meeting. She got saved. Her dad is a rabbi. We fell in love with her instantly. We can explain it. Then she gets baptized in the Spirit. She prayed in tongues. Then as we were praying for people, one of our group said, you can do what we're doing. Lay hands on those people. She lays hands on those people. They're falling under the power. She just got saved. We know so much and we're not doing anything. She didn't know anything. It worked. Problem with Christians, they know too much here and not enough here. You don't learn by information, by teaching. You learn by action. Then you find out if it really works or if it doesn't work. She learned in one shot. I mean, unbelievable. She was crying. She said, how can God do that to me? I'm a Jew. I said, he's a Jew also. So we have the Holy Spirit as a person. You can know him. You can feel him. You can experience him. You can know when you displease him and he's not happy with you. You can know when he's happy with you. That's a learning process. I learned it by experience. If you think God told you to move to Hawaii, it's probably not God. That's your flesh. But if you think God told you to move to Alaska, it's probably God, you know. So if God chooses you, you say, why did he choose me? I don't know anything. That's the kind he specializes on. We need the Holy Spirit's presence and power. Our presence should touch people whether we talk or not. Because we're the temple, are we? Okay? Jesus did his job, it's done. But the Holy Spirit is doing his job now. He continues the work of Jesus in us. And I want more. I don't know about you, but I want more. 1 Corinthians 14, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Say that, desire spiritual gifts. Now, if my little kid was small and I say, why don't you desire a bicycle? And he would say, yeah, okay, Dad, I desire. You're not going to get one. Wouldn't that be awful? Now, if God says desire, it's because he intends you to give it to you, right? Say, gifts is something you don't pay for. Undeserved, unmerited favor from God. Okay? This is gifts. Especially that you may prophesy. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. As a new Christian, I was speaking with two prophets. They were traveling. I was traveling with them. And I could see the power of their ministry that was touching not just the intellect of men, but touching the heart of men and the soul of men. And one day I told one of them, I said, I don't know if it's right. I'm a new Christian. But is it all right for me to desire your gift? He said, of course. The Bible says you to desire the gift. He said, by the way, you have it. You just don't know how to use it. I said, really? And all of a sudden I began to realize I was praying things I'd never heard before. I never do know anything about people, and I was speaking things in their life that I was. I said, wow, this is great. Prophesy. Speaking for somebody else. It's simple. It's okay. Okay. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God, for no man understands him. Howbeit, in the Spirit it speaks mysteries. Say that, in the Spirit, we speak mysteries. You know, the only time you speak in faith, the only time you pray in faith is when you don't pray in English. In English, bless me, heal me, deliver me, give me, give me, give me. In tongues, you have no idea what you're praying. It's mysteries. Right? Maybe the Lord will say, leave your business and go full time. I reject you, devil. You know, it's kind of, I did that in 1970. And see, for 6 years I was praying in tongues, didn't know what I was saying. I asked God, what am I saying when I pray in tongues? He said, you're saying, deliver me of this place. Send me out. I said, oh, no. I would have never prayed that. It didn't make sense to my conscience. So I did that and closed my real estate. Since 1970, we're still here. We've been, like what the pastor said, the tests and trials and all this. We're still here. We're still saved. We're still part of the solution. We're not part of the problem. Is it okay? I believe God wants us to be healers in this world that is so sick. Okay. No more, in the spirit, I speak mysteries. Lord, you know, it's scary to speak mysteries. You don't know what you're praying. Isn't that right? But you know, if you trust God, you do it anyway. Because you know he's good and he wants you to have it, okay? In the spirit, I speak to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He who prophesies does that. He who speaks in the tongues edify himself. He who speaks in tongues builds himself up. How many of you need to build yourself up? God's given us a gift to build ourselves up is praying in tongues. Right? I started going to the gym just a couple of weeks ago, and it's a good time to pray in tongues while all those bodies are sweating and you got televisions everywhere for all the news and everything. Pray in tongues is a good thing. Build yourself up in your innermost faith. Praying in the Spirit. People, they do it once and forget it, and that's it. They think they got it. They don't have anything. He's got a promise. So, he who prophesies is greater than he speaks with them, unless they interpret. And we can interpret. We can speak in tongues. We can give a prophecy, and we can interpret. And if we do that, then the body is being ministered to. I remember, I don't know, that came in during the night. I've been coming to Paso Robles for a long time. Before they knew me, so I could come here. After they knew me, well, that was a problem. But I was at the Assembly of God here, which the pastor was a friend of mine. And one day, a pastor came in from the church across the street. I think the First Christian Church or something like that. And after the meeting, he says, I want what you got. I said, that'll get you in trouble. He said, our church has been praying for the Holy Spirit to come. We've been fasting. We want it. Would you come and speak to our church? I said, I'm going to get you to lose your church if I do that. He said, no, no, no. We want it. I said, okay. So I go there. And, you know, it's a very ritual. Same songs you hear all the time, but nothing new, nothing fresh, and it's okay. So I talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The whole church came. His wife, his 4 or 5 kids, and none of the elders and deacons, but everybody else came for prayer. And they received easily. So after that, he said, thank you. Thank you. We've been praying for a long time for this to happen. And you brought the Holy Spirit here. Thank you. I said, don't thank me. I made you lose your job. He says, no, you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. 2 weeks later, he's out of a job. See, the religious spirit is stronger than what God wants to do. It hinders. So then he got a job in Santa Maria at the same denomination. And he told the pastor, who was secretly baptized in the Spirit, but nobody knew about it. But he told them about what I did. So the pastor decided, well, we're going to get ready to try to break it in, and I won't say that I'm one of them, you know. The Bible says, tongues is a sign to the unbelievers. I'm sending there the choir in the back of me, the elders, the deacon, the Bible teachers, and Ray Brooks. God says, tongues is a sign to the unbelievers. I said, they're unbelievers. When it comes to tongues and the gifts of the Spirit, they're unbelievers. He said, tongues are assigned to the unbeliever. I said, what do? He said, pray in tongues. I haven't thought to teach yet. I just said that. So I said, when you have 500 people look at you like a cow stuck in a fence, yeah? That's the only picture I can get, you know? So I said, Lord, that's not working really well, you know? And I could tell they don't understand what I'm doing. He said, sing in tongues. I haven't talked yet. I just started. Same thing, you know, there's no reaction. So he said, dance before me. I said, oh, you're kidding. So I'm going, the whole church came, including the deacons and elders. And the pastor said, I can, a little guy from Canada can such start such a big fire in one meeting. We are ignited to ignite other people. Is that okay? I hope I'm not going too far with you guys, okay? Paul says, I thank my God, I speak in tongues more than you all. It doesn't come from the south. When he said you all, he meant something else. So if the Apostle Paul was anointed, his words were anointed, his scriptures were anointed, we can depend on the same thing. Okay? Tongues are assigned to the unbelievers. I don't suggest you do that anyway. But he says, those who won't believe, let them be ignorant. Let them be ignorant. Just convince those who are open and receive. Don't spend your time trying to defend something they don't want. Invest your life. Christians are busy about too many things and not about the important things. What's happening around the world doesn't change anything. God is in control. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got a way for you to be a solution. Even if you're married in a difficult situation, you have kids in different situations, God has put you there to be a solution. If you believe. If you don't believe, well, suffer. To one, the Holy Spirit give gifts. Word of wisdom. It is not the gift of wisdom. You can be stupid and have a word of wisdom. Is that right? Right? Wisdom is knowing what to do when nobody knows what to do. That's just put it in your mind. And you know what? This is a miracle thing. Once you start there, it's really great, okay? Okay, to another, the word of knowledge. The Holy Spirit gives words of knowledge. I believe today God's going to give you words of knowledge if you will listen to it. Through us, through the music, through the ministry, through the word. He wants you to be an answer to the world, not a problem. The problem is not what's going on around you. The problem is with us. If we get right, it's going to be okay. Okay? To another, faith. That's a gift of faith. It's not your normal faith. If you're saved, you got faith because you can't be saved without faith. But this is a gift of faith. This is something that happens one time that you know, that you know, that you know God is going to do something. Pastor says, don't make altar calls. In my church, they will not come. You can offer $100, they won't come. Don't make altar call. I said, I always make altar calls. But he said, don't hear. You'll be embarrassed. I said, no, they'll come. He said, no, they won't. I said, yeah, they will. So I make an altar call, the whole church came. See, it depends if your faith it works and if your faith doesn't work. If it doesn't work, you have faith and it doesn't work. So, gift of faith. 1970, I closed a real estate company. I was working with hippies at the time. Some of us are here from Bakersfield. Hey, if God can save somebody from Bakersfield, he can do that. So, these are special friends. Hallelujah. And some went into the ministry from the ministry that God had us in Bakersfield. It's still in the ministry today. But the Holy Spirit will give you faith for the impossible. God said, that this is probably, I can't say God said that. I think it's my own thinking. I said, God, everybody I hear on television and churches, they ask for money, and if we don't have money, we can't do that. I said, that doesn't, I can make money without you. That's right. I don't need to beg. If you hired me, you should pay for me. So I said, I won't ask for money. We pay our plane fare to go to Europe or anywhere we are. We pay our hotel and our room and our meals and all that. And you know, since 1970, God pays well. Men don't. One pastor said, not far from here, he said, I was told that you didn't charge anything. But he said, I want to tell you, in our church, once a year, we vote, the evangelist who comes here gets $25. He says, you might as well get the $25, that's all you're going to get. I said, I don't want it. I don't need $25. If you need it, you keep it. That's okay. He said, well, I'll take an offering, but he said, I'll leave a box in the back, but you won't get anything. I said, okay. So I preach, there were $220 in the offering in the back. The pastor came and he says, he was holding it, see? He said, that's what they put in there. And I said, it's my money. Give me my money. We have learned by experience, giving is good for us. We give to other ministries. We give to people that are in need. We are blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. We don't need your money. God needs you to give so he can bless you. Give to this church. Church is a good investment. That's great. That's great. You can't give too much. Test God to see if it's true. Okay? Okay. Repent, every one of you. For the remission of it, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord can call. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for everybody that belongs to God's family who want it. Right? Hey, we need the Holy Spirit. Men don't know what to do with their wives. Wives don't know what to do with their men. We don't know what to do with our children. We need God. Simple. Right? We can't change people. I tried. It didn't work. It's frustrating. You know? Why should I try to change you when I can't even change myself and my wife can't even change me, you know? The promise from the Father is the Holy Spirit. You get it or you don't get it. You think you got it and there's no evidence, then it's not working. Something is missing. Don't settle for nothing or almost nothing. Go for it. Go for broke. I don't know how long you have, and I don't know how long I have, but I want every day of my life to make a difference in the world. My wife, she's, it's hard for her to travel and sleep in different beds every night and the train and 20 hours flight zone someplace and 9 hours time zone change. It's hard. That's why we need your prayer. But we believe we are going there to do something good. The Americans says, don't go to friends. They used to say that. They changed. They used to say, don't go to friends. They don't want God in friends. I said, when I'll go, they'll want God. Because I'm going to go there believing they'll want it. And we started when nothing was happening. Now things are happening. Benny Hinn went there and it was a flop the first time. He paid for everything and they ridiculed him and talked against him and everything. But things have changed. Now the rooms are filled with people who receive the Lord. Bill Johnson, his old team from where his church is, comes everywhere. All the prophets are coming in now. The harvest is starting. But it took somebody dumb like me to be able to believe it. Right? So wherever it is, God has got a plan for you. You're not here by mistake. He's got a purpose and a plan, and he wants you to be successful, happy, fulfilled, healed, delivered, to do it to other people who need it. Is that okay? The promise of the Father. Hallelujah. Now, would anybody refuse the promise of the Father if they really understand it? No, probably wouldn't. So, okay. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart to the Lord. Spiritual songs. Hallelujah, spiritual songs. We know all these songs we sang this morning. We've learned this in church and school. But spiritual song, all of a sudden God will give you a melody and words that you haven't learned. And you'll sing to him what his promise, what his blessing is for you. Okay? Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. The promise is there. God has called you. God has called me. God has called our family. My oldest son, really, he goes on mission, he and his wife. My young son, the same thing. He's living in Texas now, and he's living to the one. $35,000, 35,000 people church, anointed. I heard the pastor speak on deliverance to 35,000 people and make an altar call. That's pretty risky. Can you imagine 35,000 demons come over? Oh, be careful, brother. Oh, we be careful. That's the problem. We're careful. We care what men want and what men desire, and we try to please them, and it's not good. The Holy Spirit is a person. Lord, Holy Spirit, precious Holy Spirit, we don't want to ignore you. We don't want other the part of the King, the Godhead to get all the honors. We want you right now who is on the earth. Father God is in heaven sitting on the throne. Jesus is at the right hand, sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the Holy Spirit came and he's here now. Okay? Do I want to know him? Am I afraid he's going to tell me things I don't want to hear? He will. One time I said, Lord, I want to change the world for you. When I was in Bakersfield, that was my attitude. I want to change the world for you. He said, I don't want you to do that, Ray. He said, why not? He said, I want you to let me change you. I said, ouch. And he has, thank God. I believe the Holy Spirit is a real person. You can know him. You can feel him. You can know intimately. You can get words of knowledge to people who've never seen before, that you don't know anything about it. I sometimes tell pastor, don't tell me the problem in the church. I don't want to know. Because if God gives me a word, I'm going to rely on what you told me. I can't do that. Just don't tell me. I don't need to know that. I believe some of you, I know this, I would say a word of knowledge. Some of you have a problem with your feet. God wants to heal you this morning. It's painful. Backache. God wants to heal you with that. Stomach that don't digest. It's turmoil. God wants to heal you with that. How many of you can relate to the three things I just mentioned? Hallelujah. One third is sick. That's good. I believe right now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. It's for you. It's for now. You want it or you don't want it. But if you want it, he said, go to Joseph. And then when you do that, you receive power. Now, at one time, Jesus did all the miracles. Then he chose 12, and they did the same that Jesus did. Then he chose 70, and they did everything. But he says, one day, when I leave, I'll send him. And the Holy Spirit will be in you, continuing my work. I want it, don't you?